This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Thursday. Good to be with you. Matt and Patrick here today. Patrick, the state auditor is going to join us, Julie Blaha, who she's just a hoot. She is. She's a lot of fun. We'll talk to her. I actually want to get to talk a little bit about the CARES Act funding. They've had some problems with that and people taking advantage of it. And once again, the auditor's job is to make sure tax dollars are not being wasted. And we'll talk to her a little bit about that, because they not only were there some big arrests in Houston, Chicago, but also here in Minneapolis area, there was an arrest as well. There's some charges being filed about abuse of the CARES Act. So we'll talk to her about that, as well as also the new restrictions here from Governor Walz. I got to start off with, I don't quite know what to do with the world that we've got today. Earlier today, and I was responding, this is a tweet by Ricardo Lopez. He writes for the Minnesota Reformer. And he made a post, and there was another radio station that was doing an interview with Paul Gazelka. And Gazelka, that is the Senate Majority Leader, the Republican Senate Majority Leader, he suggested his, and once again, the entire Senate, Republican Senate, is in like chaos because there is a massive coronavirus outbreak. Multiple senators are sick, including Paul Gazelka himself. They mismanaged this. They didn't tell anyone about this. And frankly, and I have said this and I will stand by this, even though there are some Republicans that are getting a little snippy with me, the reality is the reason why this coronavirus outbreak is getting this bad in Minnesota is because the Republicans and the way that they have treated it. They have downplayed it. They dismissed it. They've outright lied about it. They have done everything in their power. And today, you know, Gazelka himself admits this to a point. This is reading from Ricardo Lopez's tweet about the radio interview. He suggests his caucus members' views RE mask wearing reflects how people in the rural district feel. I don't regret that we had the celebration, he added. This is referring back to the celebration on the 5th, which basically ended up being a major super spreader event. And by all accounts, there was no mask and there was no social distancing and all this stuff. And, you know, I take offense to what the Senate Majority Leader is saying, because basically when I hear him say this, this is what I'm hearing him saying. We know people need to wear masks. We know people need to socially distance. We know we need to limit group sizes. We all know that. But since we don't want to upset our rural voters, most of whom have been toxified on this issue by Donald Trump, who has told them to not believe it's real. I mean, for God's sakes, last week we talked about that god-awful story out of South Dakota, with the nurse basically having people dying in the hospitals. And as they're dying, they are screaming in anger and fury at her about how dare she tell them they've got coronavirus, because coronavirus is a myth. And she's like, don't you want to call family members on a FaceTime call? Don't you want to say goodbye to your loved ones? And these people are so bitter. And that's really the deal, is that I think the Republican Party knows they can kill these people, and because they have brainwashed them so well, the mentality of the rural voter is, sure, we lost Grandma and Uncle Pete, but I'd still have someone who's killing off, actively encouraging behavior that kills off family members, than a Democrat. And that is where these people are at. And so this is what he's saying. He says, you know, we don't want to upset the rural voters who basically don't believe this is real, so we encourage this dangerous and deadly behavior. I don't know what you do with this. Yep, we know that people are going to die. Yep, we know people are going to get sick. Yep, we know this is all bad. But because our voting base is, you know, making sure they still vote for us is more important than anything else, we'll encourage the misinformation campaign. We'll dismiss coronavirus. We'll completely distort what you need to do. And we'll encourage people to conduct bad behavior. We don't care. because that's our base. And I don't know what you can do when you got people who literally will have, my parents are dead because coronavirus, and yeah, we didn't take it seriously because the Republican representatives in this district kept telling us, don't worry about it, it's no big deal, and now they're dead. But I'd rather vote for him than a Republican, than a Democrat. You know where I'm going. You know, you would get where I'm going with it. I don't know what you do with this. I mean, it is beyond logic. I mean, it's quite literally what Paul Gazelka is displaying is quite literally the polar opposite of leadership. It is, you know, he's like a foil in a bad buddy comedy movie from the 1980s where he just stumbles into the victory. And it doesn't work that way. That's not how the world works. You know, and it's on top of this, the CDC now has issued recommendations 1 week before Thanksgiving. They've asked Americans to not travel for Thanksgiving and not spend the holiday with people from outside their household. Now, I think we all can step back for a second and realize, wow, you're asking a pretty big deal here. You're asking a pretty big deal. I mean, you're asking people not to celebrate Thanksgiving together as a family. I mean, that's one of the great traditions of American culture is Thanksgiving. So the fact that people are suggesting this and pleading and begging with people to not get together for Thanksgiving should send off alarm bells, red lights, warning signals. Instead, you know, you've got people who are out there insisting, I don't care what you liberals are going to say, you metrocrats, you and your science. My gut tells me Thanksgiving's fine. I mean, I went to Walmart one day and I didn't get anything, so I'm fine. And here's I guess what I want to say is this. I can't stop you. No, if the CDC begging you, this is Trump's CDC, by the way. If the CDC begging you not to go, if the Mayo Clinic's doctors begging you not to go, if your local doctor begging you not to go is not enough, then just do me this favor. In 3 weeks, when Nana is all of a sudden real sick and has to go to the hospital because she's got this cough, and I don't want to call it coronavirus because liberals will win if it's coronavirus, don't ask for sympathy. Don't go put that post out there saying, I need your prayers. You know what you're doing. You know what you're doing. You're the party of personal accountability. So if you're risking this, if you're going to do this, don't come at me on Facebook and Twitter and Insta and with all your, you know, grandma's taking a turn. I need your prayers and sympathy. No, you don't, because you knew not to do this and you're doing it anyway. And it makes me angry to have to tell you this, but personal responsibility. I'll tell you what, I'll pray for them and for you. I'm a Catholic. That's what I'll do. But I'm, you know, when all of a sudden you act as if you're a wounded puppy in 3 weeks, I can't believe it. Uncle Pete. He just started coughing and wouldn't stop. Now he's in the ICU and they had to ship him down to Minneapolis, St. Paul because there's no hospital beds up here. I don't know. We just saw him at Thanksgiving. We were posing with pictures talking about those libtards down in the city. I don't know why he's sick. I have no idea why. I don't know what to do with this. I don't know what to do with the people, and all you have to do, go to Twitter and type in Walls and Football and scroll through the latest tweets. Holy God. You saying the people can go get food in a grocery store, but they can't go to a football game? How is that fair? You selfish bastards. I mean, seriously. I just, how in the heck does that even, you know, wow, we need to stop this so we don't have people dying. But I want football. I want football. And on top of it, this is spiraling out of control. this is spiraling out of control. And whether it's people who just don't want to believe it's true, or you know, encouraged ignorance, or just, you know, habit that has gone wrong, I don't know what else you can do. I don't want you to die. I don't want you to die. I don't want your grandparents to die. I don't want your aunts and uncles. I don't want you to get sick. I don't want you to be sick. I don't want you to have problems. I don't want any of that. But I just don't know what in the world we can say to you at this point that is going to wake you up and make you people realize that no one likes the businesses closed. No one likes I love movies. I love going to movies. We might never get movie theaters back again. I love going out to eat dinner. I'm not going to be doing that. I mean, I've talked often about when this all began. It was back during Lent. And so it's kind of one of those things where, you know, we were in the Friday fish fries, and I never once thought about demanding churches get back in there and get me some fish fry. I never demanded that. I never even crossed my mind. I thought about the betterment of other people. And just we are just such a selfish nation right now. We are such a selfish nation, and it really is god-awful. And let me run through the numbers here. The latest numbers for today: an unprecedented number of COVID-19 deaths continued on Thursday, with another 72 fatalities and 7,877 cases announced by state health officials. 72 fatalities, 7,877 cases announced. It is another record-setting one-day increase in the state's coronavirus death tally. The previous high was reached on just Wednesday when 67 deaths were announced. So far, the pandemic has led to the deaths of 3,082 Minnesotans. Many of them died of lung-related COVID-19 complications, as at least 209,906 Minnesotans have been sickened by the coronavirus. Since October, state health officials have said the case growth is driven by spread throughout the community rather than in large outbreaks. Cases are growing so fast in some counties that investigators into the COVID-19 infections have been suspended. As we continue to witness record-setting increases, Olmsted County Public Health Services does not have the capacity to continue conducting case investigations and contact tracing for every individual who tests positive for COVID-19. The southeastern Minnesota county said in a statement earlier this week. It joins Itasca County, which made a similar announcement last week. And once again, what was the announcement in Itasca County? That if you are in a group of people of three or more, presume someone in that group has coronavirus. Well, now you got Olmsted County is that bad. Where if you're in a group of three or more people, just presume someone in that group has coronavirus. If you are in a group setting, just assume that someone has it, says Kelly Chandler, department manager for the Itasca Public Health. Hospitalizations for COVID-19 are also at record highs, with more than 1,700 hospital beds filled with COVID-19 patients in Minnesota. Bloomington-based Health Partners said Thursday that 92% of its ICU beds were occupied, while 87% of its general medical surgical beds are full. Health Partners, which operates Regents Hospital in St. Paul, also imposed a no-visitor policy, as other hospitals have done. Hospital beds might be open, but we need to make sure we have the providers to give the care, Wall said. Most people who need hospital care level have underlying health conditions, including hypertension, diabetes, obesity, and congestive heart failure. I don't know what else you can do to people. I mean, it's the recklessness of the Republican Party here. And at the end of the day, you have to kind of look at this and just sort of say, the reason why this is getting this bad is because Republicans have consistently downplayed this deal. And I don't know what you can do, because like I said, and like we've learned, these people will believe the lie until they're dead. And the Republicans know that. And so as opposed to try to be a leader and try to do the right thing and try to save as many Minnesotans as possible, they're like, those wuss balls in the city want you to wear a mask. We'll show them. I don't know what you do with that. Julie is in Minneapolis. Julie, welcome to the show. Thank you for holding.
Hi. Couple of quick things. You know, Matt, I kind of expect the deeply overly passionate wacko football, you know, men. I got to have my football. We're used to that, aren't we? We're kind of used to that, even though it's become more extreme. But you know what really bothers me are, like, the normal moms. There was a mom on when Governor Walz gave his talk the other night. I guess it was during the day before that. But anyway, she talked about her 17-year-old daughter who was in dance. Her daughter had heart failure. She was in the hospital with COVID. She finally got out of the hospital. And you know what her reaction was? She's disappointed. She's disappointed because, well, I can see why my daughter can't be in dance anymore. But I think about all those other kids that are with her in dance, and they need the activities for their mental health. It's like this mom did no cost-benefit thing in her brain. It was just, it is hard on the mental health not to be involved in sports. But what about the alternative?
Well, and Julie, we have to understand, and thanks, Julie, I appreciate the phone call. We have to understand something. What's there to like? I mean, you know, what's there to like? At the end of the day, the Great Depression happened. And it wasn't like, well, the Great Depression's not happening. I want my daughter to have a normal life while the entire economy around us collapses and everyone starts starving to death. You can't just negotiate with this crap. And people think that they can. I mean, I'm tired of football. Like, well, just only 20% of the teams are sick. You just listen to what you're saying. And at the end of the day, I'll finish out with this. At the end of the day, Jennifer Carnahan is out there screaming about the rights of people to go on out there and do what they want to do. They don't want to wear a mask. They shouldn't have to wear a mask. They want to go and get food. They should be able to go get food. If a business wants to be open, they should be able to be open. If people want to get together in a large group, they should be able to do so. What you never hear from them, they talk about the personal, the liberties and the personal freedoms that these people have to sacrifice. What they never will talk about are the liberties and personal freedoms of the rest of us who don't want to get sick. Because that's a much larger group. As you find that one knucklehead who's screaming about, my kid should be able to play football, the vast majority of people are like, oh, for God's sake, shut this down. Let's not get everyone sick. And that is the problem. It goes back to like when the gun issue is out there. You know, what about my right to not have a gun waved around in my face? Don't I have that right in this country? Don't I have a right to where I shouldn't have to go get sick just because I don't want to believe the science, so I'm going to sicken everyone I want to? And Jennifer Carnahan and the rest of the Republican Party are like, yeah, you go make everyone sick, and everyone else has to just deal with it. You get sick, that's on you. Ha, that's freedom. No, it's not. As you scream about liberties and freedoms, reminder, you're telling the people that don't want to be sick, they don't have liberties, they don't have freedoms. And that's inexcusable. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Let's take a break, come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, is the Matt McNeil Show. No, I just don't know what you do with these people. I don't know what you can say. I mean, you almost want to grab them by the lapels and shake them and just sort of say, you know, what's going on here? What are you guys doing? And I don't know. I mean, 900 staff members of the Mayo Clinic health system in the Midwest have been diagnosed with COVID-19 over the last 2 weeks as the virus continues to surge across the region. Dr. Amy Williams, executive dean of Mayo Clinic Practice, said on Tuesday that 905 newly diagnosed employees accounted for 30% of all staff that had contracted COVID-19 since the pandemic began. And 93% of those with the coronavirus were exposed in the community, not at work. You know, think about the level of contagion we are looking at here. Not only with like health professionals, which my God, all my best to you guys. You guys are really in praying for, because not only are you dealing with this horrible crisis, you're dealing with intentional ignorance to go with it, which is inexcusable. But, you have, let's go to rural Minnesota. Let's say you have a bar restaurant out there And you have a 23-year-old girl who's, I'm 50-something, so I say girl, but woman, 23-year-old woman, who is working the bar and is concerned. She doesn't want to go to work because, you know, she knows the people in that town aren't going to social distance. They're not going to wear masks. They're going to be in large groups. And so she tells her boss, no, I don't want to go into the office today. I don't want to work. I don't feel comfortable. And the boss says, you get in here, you never work here again. You know, something of that magnitude. And so she has to go into the bar, restaurant, has to go work, is around these people, and gets sick. And not only, and let me ask you, I mean, do you think that she has got the medical insurance that's going to get her through that situation? Do you think that you know, if there's this long-term problem, like a lot of people are having with coronavirus, who survive it but have months and months of other additional health care costs, do you think that bar restaurant's going to help them out? You think any of those patrons who are sitting there saying, we deserve a beer, you think they're going to help out with their medical bills? Of course not. The impacts of this are going to be felt long and hard. And as a matter of fact, there's a numbers out here today. This is from Minnesota Reformer. Minnesota's unemployment rate fell to a seasonal adjusted 4.6 in October, down from 5.9% the month before, largely because many people have just stopped looking for work. The Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development on Thursday reported Minnesota employers added 13,200 jobs last month, while 47,018 people just stopped looking. So 13,000 people got hired, 47,000 people stopped looking. Prior to the pandemic, Minnesota's labor force participation was about 70.2%, but has declined to 67.4% as a result of the economic downturn. That's going to be big. COVID has brought unprecedented challenges to Minnesota and our businesses, said Deed Commissioner Steve Grove in a statement. Despite these challenges, companies in many fields are hiring. Employers in the trade, transportation, and utility sectors added 4,600 jobs last month, according to the report. But still, 47,000 people just stopped looking for work. That's in a month. The repercussions of this. I'll tell you what. Let me give you one positive thing I saw today. Patrick, it's Thursday. We haven't done this in a while. Let me do a grocery store roundup for you here a little bit. Because I did go, and I've seen it. Have you had your friends post the pictures of the empty store shelves where toilet paper is not there?
I have heard this has been happening again.
I was at the store today. No problem. Plenty of toilet paper. This is out in the West Metro. Not like way out west. I mean, the first tier suburbs. So it's out there. It's not like it was in the early parts of this where you could drive to 15 different Targets and not find anything. So there was there. I was out, no Spam again, but plenty of low calorie and 1/3 sodium Spam. No one's touching that stuff.
You're not taking that essential everyday stuff home,
no,
are you?
No, it's I want. Why? It's Spam. Why do you have a light version? You know, it's like, that one. I mean, hey, I love you guys. I love the Spam. It is. I'm serious. I love Spam. You grow up in a family in Minnesota that goes to hunting cabins and fishing cabins, and you learn how to like Spam. That's a little bit of concern. But peanut butter, remember we talked about peanut butter? No problem. Yeast, no problem. That was another one, rising yeast for baking breads. That's there. Paper products, all there. So, I mean, I wasn't seeing it wasn't like those first few times where the frozen food shelves were emptied, which was really weird. That was really weird. And a matter of fact, I mean, a lot of people getting Thanksgiving stuff. So there is a positive thing. Is that it don't, you know, just because someone posts on social media, there's empty store shelves, just because someone's out there, oh, we're back to toilet paper rationing. Don't believe it. I saw a store today, plenty of toilet paper. So I think some of this is just people trying to make people feel worse, frankly. But the reality is that if we do not start taking this seriously, if we do not have leaders and politicians who, even though the people they represent don't want to believe it, have the guts and the spine to look at those people and say, guess what? This is real, and here's what you need to do. If we do not have people look at each other and say, hey, I understand this is a hard choice. It's a hard choice for us. It's a hard choice for everyone. But don't spend Thanksgiving with anyone else. If you don't have the guts to look at people and say, you selfish little twits, it's a high school sport. Let it go. Let it go, you selfish, self-centered, arrogant jackasses. And if you don't have people that are willing to look at other people and say, as you fight, especially the politicians from the right, who fight tooth and nail for the right of people to go make as many people sick as possible, we need to have someone out there at least saying, hey, what about the liberties and freedoms of the people who don't want to get sick? If we don't have that, this is going to get a lot worse. And maybe the thing that scares me most of all is the day that all of a sudden the Republicans come on out and say, hey, guys, we got to be honest. This is really bad, because I think that if we get to that point, things are going to be really, really bad. Julie Blaha is the state auditor. She is a ray of sunshine any day. We will talk with her in just a moment. When we do return, it is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is so important that we get back into the mode we were at in April and May with restaurants in this town. They cannot have you in there. Their bars are closed, but they can get, you can do pickup and pickup service there. Get gift cards. They will be back open again, hopefully before too long. Get gift cards. Buy the T-shirt. Get some dinner for tonight. Get some lunch for tomorrow. Go visit the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurants, find a local restaurant, and help them out. Make sure that they can get through this crisis, because, once again, no one wants to go down this path, but it's what we need to do to try to keep ourselves safe. So eatlocalminnesota.com, pick any of the restaurants there, get some dinner for tonight, get some lunch for tomorrow, buy the gift cards, get the T-shirt, help them out, and we'll get through this together. 952-946-6205. We welcome back to the show the state auditor, Julie Blaha. She's kind enough to join us today to talk about some of the issues going on today. Auditor, good to talk with you again.
Oh, it's good to talk with you. I'm always excited to go to a place that says auditor and ray of sunshine in the same sentence.
She is. Well, you are. I mean, you actually are one of the brightest people I know. You just exude sunshine. So I do love that. I want to just ask, though, if I can, how are you doing? How's your family? How's the office doing? Everything okay?
I'm really lucky. My family's been healthy. We are we're making good choices. I think that's a lot that helps quite a bit. My office was able to start working from home really quickly. We already work remotely quite a bit. And this is a joke that my staff told me. My auditor said, you know, we have been practicing social distancing all our lives. a lot of my staff, they really love working from home. They're good at it. And to save money over time, I can really thank my predecessor, Auditor Otto. Most of my staff were already working from home at least one day a week. You know, work-life balance was a big way we keep staff in our office. And remote and telework has been a big part of that. So as a result, we had the resources to switch to work from home really easily.
That's good to hear. And I'll tell you, that's a godsend. Rebecca Otto is a great auditor. You're continuing in that footsteps. I'm glad things are going well. I want to start off with the CARES Act stuff, because I've been reading stories. Sure. Houston, Texas, Chicago, Illinois, some major fraud caught there within the CARES Act. We've even had there are some charges, it sounds like, that are pending here in Minnesota as well. Talk about the fight, because once again, as the auditor, your job is to try to make sure the tax dollars are not getting wasted. This is a care. There clearly were a lot of people that, when these funds came available, were looking to take advantage of it and take money that they weren't entitled to get.
Yeah, to be clear, now, my office, we oversee almost $40 billion in local government spending. Mm. So I don't work with the individual issues that I think you're talking about, but you get at a certain point. Whenever you have difficult times, we have to be more on guard for fraud. You know, they talk about this fraud triangle. You know, it's opportunity, pressure, and rationalization. Those three things together can lead to fraud. Now, my job is to watch opportunity. We make sure that there's good processes in place, that people are following things, they're documenting things properly. So people go, oh, you know what, I'm not going to be able to get away with this. That's my job, to help build those systems. But another thing we should all think about is that motivation pressure point, that's when people don't, one way to pressure people is to not give them enough. You know, if we really want to avoid fraud, one way to do that is to make sure everyone has enough in the first place. So I would say not only should we have good processes in place and really keep an eye on the money, but let's also make sure that the federal government gets a relief act in that gets people, gets money to people before they get desperate.
Mm-hmm.
Desperation, cutting desperation is a great way to prevent fraud.
It's got to be somewhat disheartening, though, because as you said, I mean, in a functioning society, our government would be here trying to help us during a pandemic. They don't seem to be doing that right now. As a matter of fact, it seems like the federal government has checked out. Talk about this, because, I mean, this need mm-hmm. during this pandemic for federal relief, immediate federal relief, it goes beyond, I mean, it's every level, whether it's business owner, whether it's individual, and it's just not there.
Well, and for me, I get to see it at the local government, state government level. You know, people have to remember, you know, the state can't take on debt and local governments can't take on debt in the same way. They can take on a little bit, but not much. And so if we're going to put all of our safety net through local government in Minnesota, virtually all of our safety net, we have to make sure they have what they need. But at the same time, it's also a place you can really trust. You know, local government is one of the most trusted levels of government for good reason. I mean, these are our neighbors. If something goes wrong, everyone knows it. If you take the money, no one gets out of their driveway because you don't have a snowplow. You know, if you screw up the bus contract, your kids aren't getting to school. So, you know, there is something really great about the accountability of just being local. Mm-hmm. And so, what I want to see is, from the federal government, not only are they getting things out to businesses, they need to get things out to local government and individuals. Mm. So relief in the form of direct support for local government is really important. And extending, increasing benefits for unemployment, that's important. Again, gets it to individual people. That's usually where money is best spent.
I want to talk with you because you've just brought something up there that I think is very interesting element of this whole pandemic. We've not been in a crisis like this in a long time. And it's one of the things that I think we're starting to realize is because maybe it's because we've done so much cost cutting and trimming of the fat and consolidation mm-hmm. and removing things, we need to have a more fluid and flexible and malleable budget system. Now, from your perspective, I mean, you're generally kind of looking at things from the back end, making sure things are put into place and done correctly. But talk a little bit about that, because I think that we are going, if this continues down a path, we might have to start getting into a point where, I don't want to say unethical, but uncouth practices of finance. We're having to shift monies around to make sure we have emergency ICU units. We have the resources that we need to make sure that people are being taken care of. I mean, as an auditor, how do you look at that? That's a tough math problem. How do you guys look at something like that?
Well, one of the things that we look at to make sure things are safe, you want to have enough people with their eyes on things. Transparency is really important. Let's make sure we can all see it. You know, for instance, the data in Minnesota is really transparent around COVID. That's been something that's been great. And that helps cut fraud. It's just easy access to data. Also, having enough people to spread out your duties. You know, one of the things we see is that where we have some of the biggest concerns about fraud in government is in small entities where there are not enough people to watch the store. And they're often, you know, sometimes it's just a mistake. But if you only have one person taking all the money in and sending all the money out, that is, you've got a lot of risk there. And so as budgets get tight, often people will cut those redundant people or people seemingly redundant when they're providing a really good check and balance.
Mm-hmm.
So when times get tight, you know, auditors, any sort of oversight body has to really kind of kick up, frankly. At the same time, the people want to cut our budget too. So we have to be really careful to make sure that we don't cut so deep that you start having problems that are bigger than the cuts you made. So we have to make sure we're not just slash and burn. I always get worried when you hear legislators say, just cut a straight amount for everything. Cut 5% here, 10% there. Some big hatchet approach to budgeting. Those start to cause problems when you talk about oversight. You talk about keeping away fraud.
Yeah.
So we have to know that, you know, good budgets aren't just good to make sure that our services work well, but it's also going to help in places like preventing fraud in the first place, too. So, yeah, I think that that's what we're watching. We want to make sure there's still enough people watching the store, and that there's enough there in the first place so people don't get desperate. This is where getting money from the feds as soon as possible would be great. I mean, we're CARES Act funding that in the last CARES Act here, that has to be spent by the end of the year, not just order. It's got to be spent by the end of the year. And that's putting people in a terrible spot. A lot of people really hope they'd be extended. A lot of wishful thinking around that. Mm-hmm. Theoretically, in a logical world, it would have been extended. But we're now facing a very real situation. We're going to kind of come to a cliff where that money is just gone, and it's not extended through the entire course of this disease.
And I think about, well, I'll tell you what, I want to get your thoughts on what you've been involved with. Julie Blaha is the state auditor for the state of Minnesota. Has Governor Walz, I mean, have you been part of these discussions as we've talked about this stuff with the coronavirus? Has he had your office involved in the negotiations?
Oh, you bet. In fact, the way we're involved is as part of the executive council. So, you know, I love hearing all these people. Seems to be the fun sport right now is to blame Governor Walz for everything. No, I stubbed my toe. Can't believe Tim did that to me.
Darn you, Tim Walz.
It's just getting crazy. But you know, people have to remember, any of these executive orders that go beyond 5 days are voted on by the entire executive council. That's me. That's Attorney General Ellison. That's Secretary of State Steve Simon. That's Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan and Governor Walz. So this is not just one person. We are checking it. And in fact, a lot of these things I really wish would be going through a legislature. If we had a legislature that could step up and move quickly, we would be able to put these things through the legislature. But, you know, I'm not going to wait for all that to happen while people are dying. So we have to do this quickly and flexibly. So we are part of that. It's interesting the way it works because if we get together, anytime enough of us get together in that group, it's a public meeting. Mm-hmm. And we get to invite you all to hang out with us, which is great. That's very important. So when it's moving quickly, I get the information really raw. I mean, I'm not getting a pitch. I'm not getting schmoozing. I'm just getting raw numbers and the raw language. And I think that's great because I am just looking at it in its purest form and saying, is this going to work? I also meet, weekly, sometimes biweekly, with the Minnesota Department of Health, and we go through the numbers. So I have a chance to see the same numbers that the governor is seeing, the same numbers that actually any of you can see if you go to the Department of Health's dashboard. And we really walk through it. So I'm ready to move quickly. And I do appreciate how the governor's office has really managed that, really trying to make sure that we're all together. So when we make a decision, it's usually pretty clear. We've been on the same page for a couple of reasons. One, we all have the same numbers. And two, we all believe science is a good idea. And we all mm-hmm. think that data is real. And mm-hmm. so it's really helpful right now that the whole executive team really is dedicated to looking at COVID critically and scientifically and based on the numbers. And that's why we've been able to get things done.
And I want to commend Governor Walz, you, the entire executive committee, because the transparency, the reason why these the attacks on Walz right now are just ludicrous is because they really don't have much that they can complain about him about. And so because there's transparency, he's been straightforward here. With the latest rounds of actions here, I'll just get your thoughts. I mean, as this was presented to mm-hmm. you, and clearly you're seeing these numbers and they are not going in the right direction. Talk about what Governor Walz has put into action, which will begin at midnight on Friday night.
Oh, when we saw the executive orders, I'll tell you, I mean, the numbers are so clear. The numbers show that we have to be decisive. These graphs, for all of you math nerds out there, and nothing makes for good radio, I know, than math talk.
I love math talk.
I know you do. but when you see these graphs, I mean, you know, if you remember back to your elementary days, vertical lines are always really wild places. Crazy stuff happens at a vertical line. We have slopes just going almost straight up. We're nearing vertical points that are really difficult. This growth is starting to just pop. We have to act decisively. I think one thing we can celebrate is that we're able to act more precisely than we did the first time around. We know more about this, disease, and so we're able to be more precise about it. I think that there's a temptation to say, well, shut it all down, open it all up. Well, no, we don't have to do that. We really need to be clear and precise. It makes it trickier sometimes to explain. It can make it make people a little bit more likely to argue about it, but it's the right choice. So we can go as far as we need to go, but no further. And not only did we get that because of good science, we got that from people like everybody who works at a grocery store, who went back right away and figured out a way to make business work that has controlled the spread. The reason we can keep grocery stores open, I want to thank every one of my friends who work in a grocery store, from somebody is who's on the register to stocking to managing all of that. They figure a lot out. And as a result, we can keep stores open and we can keep most of retail open. So we can celebrate that. But at the same time, we won't have much to celebrate if we don't wear a mask, keep our distance, and keep our social gathering small. The math is so clear. It's so clear that this is where, that these social interactions are really where it's popping right now. And we've got to take the action. It's heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. I think all of us know it's heartbreaking. You know, I was a teacher. I saw what sports did for kids. I know it was great for them. It made them better at school. It made them happier, all of that. But at the same time, from everything I know, from kids in sports, they love their coaches and they care about their families. And I know that when you put it to them that, hey, would you be willing to skip some games to keep the coach safe? Would you be willing to skip some games to keep the grandma safe? I can't think of one athlete that wouldn't say, yes, I can do that. And that's the message we need to get out. Not mm-hmm. so much what you're losing, but what you're doing and the real gift that you are giving your community by making these sacrifices.
You know, no, there's no one who likes what's going on. There is no good choices here. We have to make hard choices, and we have to realize that no one is happy by this, but this is the best path. I've been very happy with your leadership. I don't want to make an announcement or anything like this, but if you've got thoughts about 2022, I sure hope that you're planning on running again. Just me personally saying that I think you've been pretty fantastic.
Well, what am I supposed to say? Oh, see, now, you know, this is my first elected position. So what do I get to say? Oh, do I say I'm taking it under advisement? Do I say I'm going where I'm meeting? I'm not sure what to say. Do I say we'll see how fundraising goes? I
don't know what we're don't put to me say. In the corner, McNeil. Don't put me in the corner.
Oh, is that what I say? Oh, don't put. I love my job. I love, love, love this job. And so, but most importantly, I go where I'm needed, right?
Okay.
I believe that this is the right place for me. I would love to be your auditor for a long time more.
Well, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. Julie Blaha is the auditor for the state of Minnesota. She's kind enough to join us. Julie, come back anytime. By all means, I love having you on my show.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you so much.
Take care. We'll take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. By the way, if you missed it, one quick thing she said there is that if we had to go through the legislature on this, not only would things go incredibly slow, guarantee the Republicans would demand a tax cut for a billionaire. A billionaire is going to get a tax cut for every one person that gets saved. That's who these people are. You want to open up an ICU hospital, an emergency ICU? Well, we need a billionaire tax cut. You give us the billionaire tax cut, and then we'll save the regular people. Just that, you know, it's there's a reason why this is a good thing. It's going through Governor Walz right now, but it's not just going through Governor Walz. He has an advisory committee. He has asked the Republicans to show up. They just haven't shown up, and they've admitted they're kind of not the people you want to talk to about this right now. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine Paul Gazelka saying, "Well, sure, we'd like to basically go on out there and help these people, but until we get tax cuts for wealthy people," and they would, I guarantee you what they would do is anything that they did is like, oh, we're not going to put a mask mandate in. We're just going to say, we hope you wear one, but you don't have to. And they would say, hey, we would like to restrict businesses, but we're not going to. It'd be another South Dakota and just, it is disturbing. It is disturbing. Speaking of which, on an incredibly sad note, let's head down to Iowa and a god-awful story. There is a reason why We've talked about what this why the latest CARES Act has been stalled by the Republicans. They're demanding judicial immunity for corporations because they don't want companies being sued for their bad behavior. Case in point, Tyson Foods in Waterloo. The wrongful death lawsuit in Iowa claims employees at Tyson Food Plant, where more than 1,000 workers were infected with the coronavirus, were ordered to report to work even if they had symptoms of COVID-19. It also accuses one manager of organizing a betting pool to wager how many employees would be infected. The family of Isidro Fernandez, a worker at Waterloo, Iowa plant who died in April after contracting the virus, is suing Tyson Foods. At least four other plant workers have also died from COVID-19, according to the suit, which claims Tyson Foods demonstrated a willful and wanton disregard for worker safety. Among the accusations made in the lawsuit, Tyson allegedly didn't provide workers with sufficient face coverings and other personal protective equipment and failed to enact social distancing measures. Managers allegedly allowed or encouraged workers suspected of having COVID to keep working. This includes one worker who allegedly vomited during on the production lines. Wow. Sick workers tested at the facility were allegedly ordered back to work until they were told the test was positive. Managers allegedly told workers it was their responsibility to keep working to make sure Americans didn't go hungry. Tyson Foods CEO John Tyson did write a blog published in multiple outlets about concerns over the U.S. food supply. Managers allegedly told supervisors to deny they knew COVID cases at the plant. Plant manager Tom Hart allegedly organized a cash buy-in winner-take-all betting pool for supervisors and managers. The bet was to see how many employees would test positive for COVID-19. An upper-level manager named John Casey allegedly told supervisors to ignore COVID-19 symptoms, told supervisors to continue showing up for work if they were showing symptoms, and told them to make the people working under them showed up if they had symptoms. In one instant, Casey allegedly stopped a sick supervisor who was going to get tested and said, "We all have symptoms. You have to do a job." Tyson allegedly offered $500 bonuses to employees who showed up to work every scheduled shift for 3 months. The suit claims this incentivized sick workers to show up, and managers and supervisors, fearful of contracting the virus, allegedly stayed out the plant floor and delegated responsibilities to low-level supervisors because they didn't want to get sick. At or around the time this was happening, Blackhawk County Sheriff Tony Thompson visited the plant on April 10th and allegedly said the working conditions he saw shook him to the core. Thompson and other local officials allegedly asked Tyson to close the plant, but the company kept it open. In a statement, Tyson Foods president and CEO Dean Banks said the individuals already involved have been suspended without pay, and the company has hired a law firm to conduct an independent investigation. Oh, we're doing our due diligence now. We're doing our due diligence now. Oh, my God. You need to have the right of workers to be able to sue the crap out of this. And if it breaks Tyson, it breaks Tyson. Because you know what? Maybe a company that has that kind of toxic management doesn't need to exist anymore. We are back on a Friday. Have a good one. Till then, see ya.